Do not take partial payments. This is a slimy trick people use who are professionals at this. They will give you a partial payment. That negates the eviction. Now you have to start all over again next month because you have taken money. They'll still owe you the next, but you have to do a whole other eviction process.
Welcome to the Get Real Podcast, your high-octane boost of full-on reality therapy for personal, business, and investing success with your host, Ron Phillips, because somebody's got to tell it like it is.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Get Real Podcast. Ron Phillips and Heather Marchant here, as promised, back in the saddle today.
So nice. So nice. Although I still haven't listened to your recording, I need to get that done today because I've heard it's amazing from last week. So
it is. It was a really good show. Not so much because of me, but because of our guest, which is typically the case. Today, we're going to talk about something that is a listener request. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about eviction. That is like the most fun thing ever.
It's true.
So we're going to talk about several different things about eviction as we go through. And Heather is going to share stories. It's going to be like story time in here.
It's true. Prepare yourselves. Get your little blanket. It's going to be fun.
All right, let's crank this up, Heather.
So I want to start off with some good news on a previous eviction. For those of you that are longtime listeners, first, thank you. Like our loyal listeners that I get text messages, hey, this episode today was so great, or I love our loyal group. But I have talked about my property in Alabama that I had a non-paying tenant through COVID, and the tenant said they had COVID, and then they no longer had to pay rent, and no longer had to pay rent. And then the eviction moratorium was lifted, finally. And they hadn't paid rent, I think, for more than a year and a half by the time the eviction moratorium was lifted. And then they were court ordered to move out and didn't. And then this is a fun recap for me. So maybe I'm doing this for my benefit. But there were large dogs in the house that weren't on the lease. I had someone go by and say, there's two dogs in the house. And I went, oh, no. So I tried calling and getting someone to come and remove the dogs because they were left there all day long and they weren't on the lease and they wouldn't. I called the city. I knew how this was going to play out. So the tenant finally is fully moved out. I think it was January. So they were court ordered to move out in August. They moved out in January. The dogs had destroyed the house. They'd eaten the drywall, eaten it up to, you know, the chair rail height, just gone.
I don't want to try to one up Heather's story, but I had kids eat the drywall. So until your tenant's children eat your drywall, I got you beat.
That is true. That is very true. But they were on the lease though, Ron. These dogs were not on my lease.
That's true. I mean, the kids technically weren't on the lease, but but they were allowed to be there, everybody. They just weren't allowed to eat the drywall.
I forgot about that story. Then the basement was like a litter box, just full of feces.
Now, for those of you listening who don't know, dogs don't use litter boxes. So this is a unique situation that this is a litter box and there's dogs.
It's pretty exciting. A giant litter box for dogs.
If you can imagine, if you've ever seen like a cat litter box, what Heather's describing is a basement acting as if it were a dog litter box, which is much more disgusting and
smelly.
I'm assuming it's deeper as well than a normal kitty litter box.
So fast forward to getting the renovation and getting all of that cleaned up was thousands of dollars. I'm trying to even remember what I spent, but it was somewhere around $15,000 to get the house back up in shape. I had it listed on the market and I had someone offer to move in and they seemed to be great. So I had a tenant. So I decided to lease it and because it didn't sell super fast. And I said, okay, I'll just recover some lost rent for a year. So on this show, though, I talked about how I was going after these tenants. I have no hard feelings when someone falls on hard times. But when I'm abused, I have hard feelings, I guess. I was not okay being treated that way. And I wasn't okay that they could do that to somebody else. So I went after them and went after garnishment for wages. And I've reached out to the attorney's office and just said, hey, what's the status? Any luck? Have you found them? Because there are multiple people on the lease, which is helpful for me. I think there were four adults on the lease that were like children of the parents. So long story short, that was a very long story, but I got my first payment on the garnishment.
Come on.
It's so exciting. I'm so pumped. It's not a big payment, but it's a payment.
So you follow them around. Eventually, you might get some payment.
They said payment is come, but it's only $300.
Listen, so there's a couple of things in here. Let's go back to the original point of the story is, what do you do when somebody doesn't pay rent, right? And Heather just told you the back end. We've done this in reverse, and mostly because the story is awesome. I think I've said on the show before that anybody who destroys property, purposefully doesn't pay rent for no good reason, I am going after them. I'm going to follow them either until they pay all of the judgment or until they die. I have absolutely no patience for people like that. So I'm with Heather on that piece. So somebody doesn't pay. It's whatever. So before we get to eviction, it's important that the property management company understand how you want things to be done. In my humble opinion, the best thing to do when someone doesn't pay is to show them that you are serious about them paying. And that means that the property management company posts notice the instant that they can post notice. Like literally the instant that you can post notice. Some property management companies have different internal policies and procedures, and they need to understand what yours are, because if they don't, then, well, you're going to get what you get, which is a really long, drawn out process that you don't want. So every single legal step in the process you need to be making, in my opinion. Each state is different, so that legal process is going to be different depending on how many properties you have. Whatever the law says you can do in that state, that's what you should do. Now, let's move forward to eviction. No one likes to have an eviction at the property. And just because you file eviction doesn't mean that the person's actually going to get kicked out. And that's another thing that people, I think, don't realize. It usually only takes filing once for somebody who actually cares to realize, oh, these people aren't playing around. I got an eviction notice. So filing does two things. It shows you whether or not you have somebody who cares, or if you have a complete deadbeat in your property who doesn't care. Because if they don't respond, whatever, you know you have somebody who wasn't going to pay you, right? So
one thing that I've done successfully, at least on one of my units, is cash for keys. So when the tenant is late and they tell the property manager, look, I don't have the money for one reason or another, then offering cash for keys could be a good way for them to avoid an eviction on their credit. And it's a motivation for them. And then I just tell my property manager that they need to go and inspect to make sure there's no issues, right? So if they've destroyed the house and you do cash for keys, it can limit your ability to go after them like I'm doing with this tenant that I just talked about in the beginning. Because sometimes there's like a medical event, right? Like they had a medical event and they can't work right now and it's understandable. And so offering cash for keys, allowing them to move out, give them $100 or $200 to help move. And then you don't have to go through the long drawn out eviction process and the cost of an eviction.
Yeah. And this goes back to our earlier point. If somebody's fallen on hard times, I don't want to kick these people while they're down. That's not the point.
Exactly.
The deadbeats, I will kick them all the way until they pay me. I don't care. But I've been there, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to get evicted. So I think all of us can be empathetic towards those people. At the same time, we got bills to pay over here.
Yeah.
We have mortgage payments, we have taxes, we have insurance, we have all of this stuff's going on. So this is a business. We have to actually run it like a business.
Yeah.
And it's really important. So cash for keys is a great thing if they'll do it. Mm-hmm. That's another good way to determine whether or not you have a deadbeat or you have...
Yeah. Someone that like, oh, okay, I get it. Like I'm not paying and I contractually agreed to pay. So
yeah, I should be paying. I can't pay you. You're going to pay me to leave. Okay. I mean, that sounds fair.
Yeah.
Because it is fair. Okay. So cash for keys doesn't work. You've done the eviction and we're coming up on court date. Another thing, really, really important. Do not take partial payments. Once you file the eviction, they have to pay you the full amount. Because this is a slimy trick people use who are professionals at this, right? They will give you a partial payment. That negates the eviction. Now you have to start all over again next month because you have taken money. And they'll still owe you the next, all of that balance. But you have to do a whole other eviction process. So no partial payments. You only accept full payment. And when you tell people that, again, this is another one of those we're weeding out who's going to pay and who's not going to pay. It's amazing. Someone who cares how they will somehow magically come up with all of the money.
Yep.
Payment plans typically just don't work.
They haven't worked for me.
People don't get caught up.
Yeah.
because the problem that got them behind isn't solved, and they'll probably get more behind. That's typically what happens. So there is a thought in the business that we should just keep working with people and keep working with people. It just doesn't ever work. All it does is kick the can down the road further, and it strings you along and eliminates your return and potentially makes you negative. So anyway, keep that in mind. So we're in the middle of the eviction process, no partial payments. Then they get evicted. The eviction process is usually done either by an attorney that's hired by your property management company or by the property management company. They'll show up with the evidence. And that's where you get your award. So when Heather was talking about, I got this judgment, that's where the judgment happens. And it's really also super important that if there's damages, you need to go after all of the damages.
Yes.
Because you're going to get a judgment. You want to get the judgment for the damages and you want to get a judgment for the rent that they owe you as well.
Yeah, I had to supply all of that to the attorney. They asked for the damages and then the property manager sent all the rent that was back rent that was owed. So
now, this is another reason why you should have a professional property management company. I have said on this show, and I am not embarrassed to say it, I'm a fan of Judge Judy.
That's right. Judy.
Heather thinks this is hilarious, but I'm a fan of Judge Judy.
I think it's awesome.
Judge Judy, like some of hers are things like this, where somebody's like, oh, they just destroyed my house and they didn't pay my rent, whatever. And they come in there and they don't have any proof of anything. Mm-hmm. They have no pictures before they moved in. They have these crappy pictures now. And Judge Judy's like, well, like, how am I supposed to rule on that? Like, you're an idiot. Get out of here. And then she usually throws them out. And you have to have all of your documentation, which is, again, this is a big reason why you should have a professional property management company, because they do all of that stuff. I don't think any of my properties that have been professionally property managed have ever lost in court on an eviction case, ever. So it's because they do this for a living and they know what they're doing, right? They take everything to the court and they do it. Now, I have had property management companies not take the damages to court. I have had that happen. And that's just lazy, number one. But it is really bad. You don't get a second chance to get a judgment. It's like you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. You don't get a second go at the judgment. You only get one. And if you didn't bring anything, you're not getting a judgment for the damages piece. Not going to happen.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are afraid of the eviction. I know I was my first eviction. I didn't want to file eviction because I had heard that it was just super expensive. And so I leaned on my property manager, tried to get him to be creative and how to get the tenants to pay, like the cash for keys or all these different things. And if I could go back, I wish I could just rip the Band-Aid off and just do the eviction instead of trying to dance around it, because it gets people to pay most of the time.
Yeah. And I have a little bit of an issue with cash for keys for people who are deadbeats.
Yes, 100%.
Because sometimes they'll take you up on it, right? But the problem is you're screwing the next landlord because there's nothing that shows on their record as them being a deadbeat. In my opinion, cash for keys should be reserved for people who fell on hard times and they just need to move on into a less expensive place, right? Deadbeats, again, they should be chased to the ends of the earth and forced to pay, even if it's $300 at a time.
Yeah.
I just don't care. Again, I have no use for people who don't pay their debts and destroy property, etc. No use for them. And I don't think you need to feel bad about it. Like Heather said, I think a lot of people feel bad about the eviction. You don't have to feel bad. This is a business. They signed the contract knowing exactly what they were getting into when they signed the contract. I mean, if they lost their job, I mean, I've lost my job before. I understand all of that.
Yeah.
But I also understand from the other end, we don't want to lose our property over somebody not paying. We don't want to have to pay out of our pocket for something that someone else is legally obligated to pay. So use your best judgment. But those are the rules with respect to eviction that I would suggest. Anything I'm missing, Heather?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just important to take action. And if you need to follow up with your property manager, like set a calendar reminder in your phone just to make sure that things are moving forward. And I wish I had the statistic in front of me, but there's an impressive statistic that when you file an eviction, that a majority of the time people catch up. And like you said, Ron, they find the money.
Yep.
So it's designed to help people know the seriousness of the situation. And so making sure that you don't shy away from that, communicate with your property manager.
And here's the other thing. You're not helping anybody if you allow someone to live in your property without paying you.
Yeah.
It doesn't help them either. All it does is teaches them bad behavior and that it's okay to not pay people. It's not helping them any at all. And frankly, if they need to be in a less expensive property, all you're doing is you're just delaying the inevitable.
Yes.
It's going to happen at some point. So you just as well get it done now.
Yeah.
It's better for you. Ultimately, it's better for them, even though it doesn't feel like it. And again, like Heather said, they can always pay before the eviction date. So they have plenty of time to pay.
Yeah.
And they can go see their friends and their parents and everybody else, do double shifts. They can do whatever they need to do to pay. And here's a dirty little secret. People pay the loudest person first. Mm-hmm. If the loudest person is a credit card, they're going to get the money and you're not. There is money.
Yeah.
Almost all the time, there's money. It is being divided up amongst people. And you need to be the first person in line. And the way to do that is using the eviction process to your benefit. That is what it's for.
For sure. I want to back up one last thing to my story at the beginning, because those that are listening, I realize they may look at this as like, oh, this is the norm. This is completely not the norm.
I've never had that happen.
Yeah. And it was really the eviction moratorium that caused most of this problem, that the government got involved in contract law, like we've talked about in the past. And
let's be very clear about this. Trump started it. Biden put it on steroids. This was an all-inclusive screwing of the American people from both sides of the aisle. I'm so sick of hearing that Biden did this.
Yeah.
He did do it, but so did Trump.
Yeah. I love that I can hear you hammering your desk.
That irritates me. Like, everybody on the other side of the aisle was perfect. They didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, BS. It all started under them.
Yes. This tenant stopped paying rent in November of 2020, and I did not get them out until last February. And it was all eviction moratorium. That was 100%. And the dogs did all the damage because I couldn't get them out.
How do you live in a house with a basement full of crap?
I know. I do not know. Oh.
You know, the dogs have to run through that stuff.
Right.
Dude, I mean,
so gross.
Oh, I just puked a little in my mouth, everybody.
I know. Oh, and I knew they were working too, Ron. I knew it because I sent someone by, a friend of mine, to go by. And like, he's the one that said there's dogs in there. And while he was there, they pulled in and they were getting home from their shifts at Amazon. Two women that were working at Amazon. So again, knowing I was taken advantage of.
Amazon pays well, people.
Yep.
Okay, we're flogging a horse here.
No, I just want to make sure I'm clear.
Evict your people.
Yes.
Evict them. If they don't pay you, evict them. That's it.
Moral of the story.
And vote everybody out of office. Freaking lot of losers doing anything right. Have they even passed the 100% bonus depreciation yet? No. What the heck are they waiting for up there?
I know.
They're going to do something. They should do something that is at least positive for people instead of screwing things up worse.
For real.
And on that happy note, everybody, till next week, get out there and make something happen.
This has been the Get Real Podcast. To subscribe and for more information, including a list of all episodes, go to getrealestatesuccess.com.